You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to Week 10. We are the Roto Experts, and thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Mike Blewett. Going to bring in George Kurtz here in a minute. We're going to take you around the world of the NFL for the next 2 hours. It's been a wacky and wild NFL season. I don't think this week has been particularly drama-filled, but even in a week where there's not quite as much drama as there was maybe the previous week, George, there's still a bunch of stuff to talk about, and we'll get started with the Thursday night game, which the unfortunate big story coming out of that is that Richard Sherman is lost for the season.
Yeah, really? This is not a drama-filled week? I mean, you got A.J. Green beating up Jalen Ramsey, although no suspension.
Right.
Mike Evans does get suspended. Ezekiel Elliott is, well, I think he's going to be suspended. More than likely going to be suspended. Richard Sherman's gone for the year. I'm sure that's something I left out of this, dude. I actually think this has been one of the worst NFL seasons in a long time, Mike. As far as all this garbage that's going on.
Absolutely. It's been a brutal season. And last week, I thought, epitomized how messy it was. There was the whole Bob McNair situation. And then right up to Sunday, you had Leonard Fournette being benched at the last minute for violating team rules. And then there was like a Zach Ertz situation where they said he was going to play. And then at 11:30, they're like, sorry, he didn't warm up right. He's got to go out. So there were like big time players. I got very badly impacted by the Ertz situation. And I George, I should have just taken a zero, but I ended up cutting Alfred Morris because everybody else I need it. It's a league with a thin bench, so I release Alfred Morris just a few days before Zeke Elliott gets suspended. That's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. But to go back to Thursday, you're right, there's plenty of drama. I just didn't think there was as much as last week. But to touch on Thursday real quick, I know. It's unfortunate. And as you said, it has been a rough NFL season. So the Richard Sherman injury happens. Russell Wilson has a really solid game, 22 of 32, two touchdowns. Neither team could run the ball at all. Wilson ran for another 19 yards. Larry Fitzgerald had a big day, but unfortunately for the Cardinals, you saw the issues that they're going to go through. Drew Stanton was mostly inaccurate. They missed on a ton of big plays, and I think they're just going to just sort of slog here to the end of the season.
You know, Drew Stanton wasn't good, but you know, they dropped two touchdown passes too.
True.
I mean, Brown dropped one, Nelson dropped one, and then Gresham dropped one as well. So that's on the other receivers. Listen, I'm not saying they would have won the game. You don't know how it's going to work out that way, but you got to catch those balls as well. So it is what it is, right? The Cardinals without Carson Palmer, even with Palmer, probably weren't going anywhere. Certainly without him now, without David Johnson, they're done. I keep getting questions about David Johnson, but guys want to pick him up thinking he's coming back.
I think it's extremely unlikely, so to say the least. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this game. We'll talk about how Richard Sherman's injury could affect that defense for the rest of the year. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you want to reach out to us today, please do that at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. Now that you have 280 characters, you can write us long-winded lineup questions. I'm at Mike Blewett, and George is at George Kurtz. If you want to give us a call today, please do that at 844-843-6879. We take those calls a little bit later in the hour. and we'll be here for 2 hours. So, first of all, thank you for finding us. If you found us streaming online through iHeartRadio, through TuneIn Radio, through the Fantasy Sports Radio app, we appreciate it. And many other terrestrial radio stations around the country, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we can help you with your lineups and answer some of the questions that you may have. So let's clean up the Thursday night game a little bit. As you said, the receivers have to help him out, but unfortunately he did miss some big passes too, and with their inability for Adrian Peterson to get anything going, 21 carries for 29 yards, they were kind of dead in the water. That's why they really were able to scrape out 16 points for the whole night. It was just – and by the way, the one touchdown that they ended up getting in that first half was – solely due to the fact that the Seahawks could not stop committing penalties. They committed four penalties for first downs on the one drive alone, 12 penalties for 108 yards. Last Sunday at Washington, against Washington, 19 penalties. I know they play fast and loose sometimes in Seattle, but they literally lost the Washington game because of it, and they made this game tighter because of it.
The Seahawks have been doing this for years, just that usually they get away with it. Last couple of games, they're not getting away with it. All of a sudden, the refs are calling everything. They're going to have to adjust their style of play. They're going to adjust their style of play anyway. No Richard Sherman. Earl Thomas was out. I do expect Thomas to be back for their next game, but they're not getting Sherman back until next year. So they definitely have to adjust how they play. You can't play this physical if the refs are calling it. You know, it sort of reminds me of the Patriots and Colts back in the day. Yeah, wasn't that what the Colts always complained about? Patriots played too physical. Refs changed a little bit. Patriots had to change. Same thing here.
Yep. So on the Seattle side, we mentioned Russ, 22-32, the two touchdowns, both to Jimmy Graham. So Jimmy Graham, a nice resurgence here, George. He's got six touchdowns in the last 5 weeks. So he's obviously become a very valuable tight end. Doug Baldwin, 5 for 95, so he keeps it going. I think the concern for me, you see these injuries now in Seattle and, frankly, all over the league, but they're very badly impacted by the Richard Sherman injury. My concern with Russell Wilson, it's great for fantasy right now, but I feel like way too much is on his shoulders because he can't run the ball at all, and no matter who the defense is, and now he's in the mode of having to make play after play after play. There's the concussion situation where there's a little drama there that he wasn't tested. It looks like they did violate the protocol, frankly, but simultaneously, I actually don't think he was concussed. He took a shot on the jaw, but it's not my job to figure that out. Frankly, if you get sent off the field, you have to just go through the protocol, and if they cleared him quickly, he would have missed a series and come back. Now they've put a spotlight on themselves that they didn't need.
Looks like they violated it. They violated it. They crushed it. They stepped on it, and they threw it away.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't matter that people, he didn't have a concussion anyway. Well, he decided that.
It doesn't matter.
No one checked him out. I mean, all players will tell you they don't have a concussion. You know, that's why you have to go through the protocol. Players can't make that decision on their own at that point because they're not. Obviously, if you have one, you still might say you don't have one. You have to go through it by the independent neurologist. That was that was pretty blatant. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the NFL does about this, to see how hard they come down on them. I expect them to come down pretty hard because – once again, this is today's player. They're getting sued. They're catching a lot of grief for all these injuries, especially a Thursday night game. And then Seattle does this. So I expect them to come down pretty hard on Seattle eventually. Now, eventually may not be till the end of the season. Who knows how long this takes? These investigations always seem to take way too long, much longer than they have to. So I'm curious to see what the NFL ends up doing here.
Right. And as far as the point of too much being on Russ, I just get worried at being an injury risk. I know Dwayne Brown really helps fortify that offensive line, but it's still not a great offensive line. Yeah. So, you know, we're in this situation where I you kind of hold your breath if you're a Russell Wilson owner. Luckily, I'm not invested in him this year, but I don't know if that's lucky. I mean, he's obviously been good for fantasy, but I'd be holding my breath now with almost every game because I feel like the spotlight is going to be on Russ even more.
Well, spotlight can't be on him any more than it already is. He's already drawing up plays with dirt back there. You know, if he can't get it done, it doesn't get done. That one, the big play to Baldwin was a joke. And he's out there running literally schoolyard plays, stuff you'd see on Madden. you know, running in circles behind the line. Twice he did that, and he still completes the ball. Probably a pass he honestly never should have thrown, but he still completes the pass. Without him, they're toast. Just the running game is non-existent. It's not bad. It is non-existent. It's all Russell Wilson because they can't really run a straight play. You know, they can run a 10-yard square in because before that square in's run, he's under pressure running around back there. So Steelers have to adjust. Russell Wilson has to adjust. It really is amazing how bad this offense is. And now with the loss of Richard Sherman, if they expect the Seattle to score even more, good luck.
Right. That's what I'm worried about, is that there's going to be even more focus on it. As you said, it's all on him now anyway. But the Richard Sherman injury is big. They're going to have another guy step in there. He just won't be nearly as effective as Sherman. There's talk about it being, you know, his last game in Seattle, because not everybody's on the same page there entirely. But we'll see how that plays out. You know, best of luck to him. I know Richard Sherman is a divisive figure for some people. I really like him. I love watching him play. He's one of my favorite players to watch, just me personally. And I know a lot of people aren't down with that, but so be it. I like the way he plays. I think he's a fairly thoughtful guy. It doesn't always come out the way that it's intended. And it sometimes seems maybe it makes people a little bit uncomfortable because he's challenging certain norms. But, you know, I like him. I hope to see him back on the field. Not dissimilar how you like J.J. Watt. You want to see him back on the field. You know, we want to see the best players play. I think that's says enough. But Larry Fitzgerald, Cardinals side of the ball, Larry Fitzgerald keeps being Larry Fitzgerald. 10 catches for 113 yards. Jermaine Gresham takes a touchdown away from somebody that could have used it. Andre Ellington picks up a touchdown. I benched him in one league, George, for Jerron Brown. I was hoping to hit a big play, and Ellington had been so poor, I ended up benching him. So I sacrificed a whole bunch of points there playing Jerron Brown instead of Andre Ellington. But it's not like Ellington had a big night. I mean, he touched the ball five times for 30 yards. He just got into the end zone.
Yeah, Ellington was actually terrible. But one play he got to the end zone was really kind of interesting because they really shouldn't have given him the ball, because if he gets stopped, that kills a lot of time. It was at the two-minute warning, so it was strange that they gave him the ball. They usually would throw that pass there, and I needed him to throw, because believe it or not, I had Stanton starting in the league. It's only a one quarterback league with the Dynasty League you and I play in. So there was no quarterback, so I actually had to trade for Stanton to get a starting quarterback.
Who's your starting quarterbacks?
Carr and Bradford. So the injury's there. I had Garoppolo as well, but he's not starting this week. So I gave up a last round pick, not a big deal. So losing that possible 4 points was annoying. I think I lost because Gresham couldn't catch or couldn't get in the end zone from like a 2-inch yard line. So angry. It's amazing what you get angry about in fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately for, you know, when AP's bottled up, they basically have one weapon after that, and it's Larry Fitzgerald. If those other guys are going to drop touchdown passes, as you said, with Gresham and or J.J. Nelson, then Drew Stanton is up the creek without a paddle. So we'll put a bow on that. I don't think there's much more we need to say there. We hope Richard Sherman gets well, and then we'll move over to week 10, the rest of the week. So most important thing to start off with is your bye weeks. Your bye weeks are the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Eagles. So obviously a couple of high-powered offenses there, and the Chiefs and the Eagles are off. You lose three quarterbacks, as George said, with Carr, Smith, and Carson Wentz starting pretty regularly. A whole bunch of running backs there that are in the mix. And we'll see how you can possibly adapt to that. Obviously, feel free to send us questions to see who you want us to start over whomever is the backups, as George just detailed, in certain leagues and deeper leagues. Somebody's going to start Drew Stanton. Somebody's going to start some other guys that are banged up as well, or filling in for the banged up guys as well. You mentioned Sam Bradford. Teddy Bridgewater's back. Sam Bradford's done. And when do you expect, or do you expect, Teddy Bridgewater to take over for Case Keenum?
Yeah, I do expect it. It may not be right. It may not be smart, but I do expect it. Probably the next time Keenum has a bad game. You know, I think it's as simple as that. You know, he has a game where he's below, you know, 55% come up. Completion percentage. Maybe they lose this week to Washington, a team they probably feel they should beat. You know, they only scored 10 points, 13 points. I think it'll happen as soon as then. As soon as they feel Bridgewater is ready. He's been practicing now for, a little over a week. So I don't know if next week is really fair or if he'll be ready for it. But I would expect it somewhere around Thanksgiving.
All right, so there we go. We'll talk. We'll bring up some other stories that happened this week, as George said. I'm trying to downplay the drama for this week, but it's pretty drama-filled. You got to talk about Zeke Elliott after this. You got to talk about Giants players throwing Bob McAdoo under the bus. What's up with Martellus Bennett's injury? Did he have it? Did he have it? Didn't he have it? I'm kind of on his side on this one. We'll come back and talk about him and more on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Nice. We're grooving this morning on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George. We'll be here for a while going over. This is the drama segment, George. NFL Drama Week. We talked about Russ Wilson's concussion, non-concussion. As you said, they stomped all over the concussion protocol. It doesn't matter what he thought or... He said he answered a few questions on the way to that tent.
To who?
I don't know. I can't imagine
to himself?
He answered more than one or two, or somebody shouting it from the sidelines at him.
Yeah, right? You okay, Russell? All right.
What day is it?
Get back in there, buddy.
What day is it? Who's president? So, anyway, see, we have that part. So, the Zeke Elliott situation. As of right now, he is suspended. There doesn't appear to be any last-minute injunctions, but I'm never going to say never because we've seen a lot of things pop up during this process. But as of now, he will miss the next four games, which means we're going to have to take a look at Alfred Morris, Rod Smith, Darren McFadden. McFadden appears to be a distant third, but I think that can change in a week's time. So anyway, thoughts on Zeke Elliott. Yeah, exactly. Give me your thoughts on Zeke Elliott. Situation in general. You think it's six and like he's not coming back from that?
Well, it's at least four, right? The next hearing is on December 1st, when the Cowboys will have played four games before then. So at that point it may not matter. I think it's all six now. He was always going to have to serve, as I've said this many times. He was never getting away with it. It was just a matter of when. And this is probably the worst case scenario for fantasy owners, because now he's done for your fantasy playoffs unless you make the championship game. All right, so it is that bad. He was always going to have to serve. I don't know why the NFLPA doesn't learn. You know, you're wasting your money here. The Second Circuit is always going to defer to the CBA. You negotiated this. All right, is that they don't want to get involved with it, because if they do, then not just the NFL, but every business that has a CBA and an arbitrator is going to come to them when they don't get a ruling they like. So that's why the court's not going to deal with this. You know, people think that the courts were dealing with the innocence, or did he do it or did he not do it? No, they weren't. They were dealing with the process. Is the process fair? No, of course not. We all know it's not fair, but the NFLPA negotiated this. And for all those people who think, Mike, this is going to go away, the next CBA, I doubt it. Because, once again, you're going to have to negotiate this out. What are the players willing to give up to get rid of this power when it affects so few people?
I mean, and by the way, the guys that it affects are guys that are at best towing the line between good behavior and bad behavior, at best. And some of them there are like, I'm not taking
30,
up for some guy
a year?
That's right. Not even.
So there's thousands of NFL players. So no, it's not. Then it's unlikely they're going to. Of course, what are you going to do? Give up an 18 game schedule, which they don't want, or something else that's going to be made that the owners would love to have. That's what the owners love this, and that's why the owners probably. Pissed about Jerry Jones suing them now, because they want to keep this power. You know, Jerry Jones now wants to get rid of Goodell because wants his contract to be. It's all BS anyway. Jones is just annoyed that, more than annoyed, angry about what happened to Elliott. You know, but that's what the owners are going to be ticked off about this, because they don't want this to go away. They want the players to have to negotiate Goodell's powers to go away. So bottom line is, listen, you lost Ezekiel Elliott for six games. All right. It's Morris to start. He gets the first shot, the starting job. But this is going to be some kind of committee or game flow. Who's ever playing the best? Could be Morris. McFadden is more of a total package guy, catch the ball out of the backfield. Or Rod Smith, who may have the most talent out of all three of them, but also the least amount of experience. So come Sunday, Morris gets first shot. He can't get it done. Cowboys offense isn't moving or whatever it might be. Then it goes to McFadden. Then it goes to Smith. You know, it'll be a combination of all three. That's why I know you're upset you lost Morris here. It's a loss, sure. You would have started him Sunday. He looks like he's a starting back, but I don't expect this to last long.
Yeah, I really, I needed it more for this week than anything else, but I think you're right. You need to temper expectations if you're an Alfred Morris owner. It's not like he comes
in. I remember probably no Tyron Smith for Dallas, their best offensive lineman, left tackle, more than likely out for this game with a groin injury.
Yeah, they said he's been progressing, but did not practice. So
liars.
Yeah, when the guy can't get on the field to practice at all, I understand that veteran players are going to get some leeway, but I don't feel encouraged about that at all. I'll come back to the Jones-Goodell thing, if not later this segment, then later this show, because I think it's an interesting topic with Jerry just kind of stepping in the way of the owners. It seems to be more power play than anything else. But let's talk about the other items, because Martellus Bennett was cut by the Packers. And it looks like there's going to be a grievance situation there. They're going to try and get some of that bonus money back because they feel that Martellus Bennett was not forthright in admitting how injured he was. This is that he's been playing with a torn rotator cuff, a torn labrum. He has obviously talked about retirement. So I think they know they have a player on their roster that isn't fully committed to football in their eyes. And they feel that this is maybe a way to get back some bonus money. Personally, he came out with a very strong response to it via social media, stating that they knew that I was hurt. It's got way worse as the season has gone on in playing for the Packers. So, no, I didn't lie about it. They knew about it the whole time. He's been cut, picked up by the Patriots. It remains to be seen what kind of role he can have on the Patriots if his shoulder is really this banged up.
Well, I mean, a couple of things here. I wonder, one, does this happen if Aaron Rodgers is not out for the season? You know, if he's healthy and they're playing well, does this ever come up? Probably not. Two, Bennett was terrible. And you watch those Green Bay games. I don't know what he's doing with Hundley in there. Nobody cares anymore. But with Rodgers, he dropped so many passes. I mean, my God, was he playing poorly. So I think that plays a part in this as well. He just wasn't playing well. You know, to take away one of those two things, once again, I don't think we're talking about this. I don't think Patrick
Maybe he's playing badly because he's hurt.
Maybe. You know, maybe he is, maybe he's not. Who knows? Either way, I mean, you're saying because he's playing through the – all players are playing through the injuries. Isn't that a good thing that he's trying to play through it?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if I understand that logic. Once again, this seems to be a situation where you didn't like the player for whatever reason. You know, you didn't mesh. Maybe you don't think he was trying. Maybe you think it was Jake in it, whatever it might be. You know, but none of this happens if you're winning. You know, Jerry Jones has not made a Goodell if Elliott doesn't get suspended. You know, Packers aren't upset at Bennett if Rodgers doesn't get hurt and they're winning. You know, it's amazing what losing does. When something unexpected happens, it's just amazing how you take it out. We all do this in different walks of life. You know, you have a bad day, you're mad at your wife, take it out on the kids. You know, it's just the way it's working here. And that's
bad day at work, you come home, take it out on your family, that kind of stuff.
That's the thing, right. I hate Mike Blewett this morning. I'm going to yell at my wife when she comes home.
What? Nobody hates me. Come on, George. So you're right. So ultimately, I don't expect this to be fantasy relevant. I just do think it's an interesting story. You know, if he comes in and he, you know, people had big expectations for him last year when Gronk went out with the Patriots and he didn't live up to those expectations. I think Martellus Bennett sees things beyond football. And I think when he talked about retirement, I think he's serious. I think that's just kind of the end of his career. And he's going to finish it on the Pats roster, whether he plays much or not. Next story, Jameis Winston gets the fine, $12,000 fine for poking Marshawn Lattimore. But the bigger part of this, George, it is really Jameis Winston's fault that Mike Evans is suspended. And yes, Mike Evans is an adult and he needs to control his emotions, but he is, in fact, protecting his teammate because he didn't see the entirety of the incident. I have an issue with Jameis more than anything else because he's being a knucklehead. He's the quarterback. He's putting his hands on people, instigating a fight, which resulted in the best player on offense now being suspended for this game because Jameis is on the sidelines anyway with an injury.
I am right on board with you, Mike. I mean, I think I said this during the shows during the week. What was Jameis doing there? You were already out of the game with a shoulder injury, ruled out, and yet you're there on a sideline, in the middle, pretty much in the middle of a play, poking your finger in Marcus Lattimore's face, defensive back for the Saints. And as you said, then,
he was walking away.
Right, and then Evans did what he did, which I'm not saying, certainly not the right thing, but I understand why, because once again, you see your franchise quarterback, you know, the man who pretty much gets you paid because he's throwing you the ball in all these games. You know, you think he's in trouble there, so you run Lattimore. Should have done what he did either. Although I think what A.J. Green did was a lot worse, but whatever. So I sort of get it there. But what was Jay? I mean, so what? What are you doing there? You're getting wrecked. You know, you've been terrible for a couple of weeks. The Saints are wrecking you. You're getting crushed. And you're there acting like a two-year-old? No. So, I mean, you're like, the Saints player run Winston for what he did there.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. It's totally immature. It's the stuff that people were worried about with Jameis. Like, is he still a knucklehead? Is he over this kind of stuff? Now, this isn't some egregious off-field incident, but it's really stupid. It's just the bottom line. It's a stupid thing to do. You got to control yourself, and now your best player's out, and Fitz is going to have to play with DeSean Jackson and Adam Humphries and, you know, both tight ends. It's not a bad core, but it's not Mike Evans. Lastly, the Giants drama with the two defensive players coming out, likely defensive players coming out and hammering Bob McAdoo to Josina Anderson of ESPN. The other players now have come out pretty strongly. Snacks Harrison, Landon Collins have come out and really hammered the guys that didn't put their name on it. You know, people are going to speculate as to who it was. He suspended two defensive backs so far this season. Just give me your thoughts there. I mean, this was a dumpster fire, and it's raging into towering inferno. I don't know if they pull out of this tailspin, but they better win on Sunday.
Yeah, you lose a San Fran team that's winless. And, McAdoo's gone to the end of the season. Jerry Reese probably is also. He's the general manager. I expect the house cleaning there. But if they lose on Sunday, too, like I said, the winless Niners team that has no offense, really, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if McAdoo will make the plane ride home here. Jenkins gets suspended, doesn't seem to care, didn't apologize to the team, wasn't all that contrite about it in an interview. So you said it's a dumpster fire, it's a mess there. I don't see this getting any better for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk about injuries after the break. A bunch to go over. Well, maybe we'll talk about that A.J. Green non-suspension after the break, too. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. Join us back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George. Almost forgot the name of the place we were working there for a second. Wanted to talk about injuries, but George and I were talking during the break about the A.J. Green scenario. He got kicked out of the game. Jalen Ramsey was a big part of instigating everything that went on, but A.J. Green took it to say he took it too far is understating it. He chokeslammed the guy and started throwing punches, and he did it blindside in a way. I guess he can't call it blindside when the guy just pushed you to the ground, but clearly he did it from behind. And you said you were shocked that A.J. Green wasn't suspended, so I just wanted to give you a minute to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming everybody saw the incident by now. AJ Green lightly pushed Ramsey. I'm sure they would, of course, they would trash talk each other back and forth. Ramsey admits that, telling AJ Green he's done, you know, you're over the hill, you got nothing, blah, blah, blah. So, but this happens every NFL game. That's where all the wide receivers are the biggest talkers out there, the cornerbacks as well. So, Green lightly pushed him. Ramsey pushed him harder and pushed him down. Ramsey's walking away. Green from behind puts him in a chokehold, throws him to the ground, and then, a melee ensues. AJ Green throws a whole bunch of punches. They both get thrown out. Ramsey really should not have been thrown out. That was a mistake by the ref. He said he saw punches thrown by Ramsey. Video clearly showed that Ramsey, I'm sure he would have if he could have, but he never had a chance to throw any punches before everything started. And how Green doesn't get suspended for this is amazing to me. I think you said it during the break is the perfect thing. It sets a terrible precedent. What's going to happen next time with something similar? Something even not as much, where a guy throws punches, maybe he doesn't put him in a headlock and throw him to the ground. What do you do then? Do you not suspend the guy? Well, we didn't suspend Green, or does he get suspended because he's not AJ Green? He's not a possible Hall of Famer. He's not an All-Pro. What's going to happen then?
That is the issue. I think Green, they took it light on Green because, honestly, of all the diva wide receivers out there, he's not one of them. He's very quiet. He's kind of keeps to himself. He's, I think, seen as a consummate professional and probably in the Larry Fitzgerald mold more than in the, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but like the Odell Beckham, drama.
Trying to say Beckham's situation. A diva? You're kidding.
Yeah, I could have picked five different guys there, right? I could have said Dez. I could have said him. I could have said, Julio's not so bad. Antonio Brown has shown himself to be kind of a diva. Not kind of a diva. A huge diva. So, in any event, I think the reputation comes into play with AJ Green. I was surprised he wasn't suspended. When you consider the actions that Mike Evans went through and what AJ Green did, it's tough. AJ Green loses part of a game. Mike Evans loses a whole game. So, there we go. Let's move over to the injuries. And I'm going to start with one that people are like, why is he talking about this? Well, the Detroit Lions are done with the Greg Robinson experiment, according to Kevin Patcher from NFL.com. He was a former number two overall pick. He struggled his entire career with the Rams, now with the Lions. But they waived him with an injury designation. But the good news is their actual starting left tackle, Taylor Decker, this is possibly a premonition that he will be coming off the injury list soon, coming off the PUP list, and Matt Stafford may have his left tackle back. So that's a dramatic improvement to an offensive line midseason. And as much as I've been weary of people jumping on this Lions bandwagon, I do think this really helps a lot for the rest of the season.
I would agree. I think it can't be any worse, right? Lozo is not really working there as far as the running game anyway, so maybe something gets started here. But actually, it just can't get any worse.
Yeah. So, Matt Stafford, are you on the Lions bandwagon or not? I feel like people after the game the other night, people are like, look how great Stafford is. The Lions are going to be a real playoff contender. I just think they still have so many issues punching the ball in the end zone when they get down close. I think that's going to create games that are too tight for them, and I don't know if the defense is great. It's better, but I just am a little weary of people getting the Lions bandwagon fired up after a Monday night win against a backup quarterback.
Yeah, you beat Green Bay. Congratulations. You'll beat Cleveland this week. Fantastic. Doesn't make you a great team or a playoff contender. I mean, yeah, they'll be a playoff. I think they'll be there for a possible wild card, maybe at the division. They did beat Minnesota once. They play them again. So they can take care of business there. It could get very, very interesting as far as who wins the NFC North there. But I like what you said. I agree. Defense is better. I wouldn't call it a very good defense. It's better. Maybe it's slightly better than average. The passing game, I'm fine with it. Stafford's a good quarterback. Tate, Jones, fine. The running game, though, is, that's pretty bad. Can you win a game outdoors? Can you win a game outdoors? So that'd be my worry there with Detroit. But I guess, yeah, sure, they're a wild card, possible division contender here.
Yeah. So as we continue through the injury report, we talked about Richard Sherman being lost for the season the other night. The Cardinals lost three guys for the season. Defensive back Tyvon Branch, offensive tackle DJ Humphries, and tight end Ifeanyi Moma are all gone for the season after that Thursday night game. So they things have gone from bad to worse with their injury situation. Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones returned to practice. He's going to play Sunday, George, so good news there. Buffalo Bills. Charles Clay has been obviously on the injury report for a number of weeks here. He's missed a few games, and now there's a possibility that he'll come back. So I think it's something that people have to keep in mind when the tight end position is as difficult as it is in certain weeks. He could be an option. Zay Jones, wide receiver, will be out. We talked about Richard Sherman. The Giants, this is unbelievable. When bad teams start to have injury issues, you start to wonder, like, I'm not accusing anybody of jaking it, as you said earlier, but you start to wonder. Yeah, exactly right. The Giants ruled out linebackers B.J. Goodson, Devon Kennard, and Keenan Robinson for Sunday's game against the Niners. Three linebackers on a team who has bad linebackers. So they're out. Olivier Vernon, questionable. Guard Justin Pugh comes back. But you have three tight end, three linebackers that are out. This team can't cover tight ends when all the starting linebackers are healthy. And George Kittle is out for the Niners. I'm just saying I picked up Garrett Celek in a league. That's all I'm saying.
Not a bad pickup. I mean, we say it each and every week. The Giants, even with the linebackers they had, weren't big believers in covering the tight end. All right, so Kittle out, Celek, I think he comes to play. So I actually don't mind
it's
that
years.
As well.
It's
been going on a long time for the Giants. It's not one of their defensive stalwarts, even though, no matter what defensive coordinator there is. I said the phrase business decision. I think what it is this is not to say the players aren't hurt, but it's to say if the Giants were, let's say, 7-1, they might feel a little better be playing on Sunday. But they're not playing well. The season's over. It's a dumpster fire. Everything's gone wrong with the Giants. Maybe you're thinking, oh, you know what? I am hurt. You know, no reason to risk being hurt worse. Maybe hurting my my chance for next season, getting a contract or playing, whatever it might be. So I think that's what you see in a lot of these teams now. Where guys, like I said, if the record would have been the other way around, they might be in there on Sunday. But it's not. You know, he who fights and runs away lives to fight another day.
There you go. Kicker Randy Bullock for the Cincinnati Bengals, questionable with a back injury. I tell you that because if you've just been plugging and playing Randy Bullock, which I don't suspect there's a lot of people, but if you have been, you need to keep an eye on it and may have to pick up an alternate kicker. Right after his best week of the season, George, Matt Forte did not practice this week and has now been ruled out against Tampa.
Well, it means you want Bilal Powell. Because that should be Jets should pretty much almost do whatever they want on offense there. I don't know how much the Bucs are going to have the ball on offense with Fitzpatrick in for Winston. No Mike Evans. You know, so the Jets may have the ball a whole bunch there. Bucs defense isn't very good as it is. A lot of injuries there. So I think you want Powell in your lineup. He becomes a running back too for me.
Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant is questionable for Sunday's game against the Falcons after being limited in practice. What do you expect there?
I think he's playing. Be surprised if he didn't. They said he moved around pretty well in practice on Friday. We saw the injury last week. He was moving around pretty well on the sideline. It didn't look to be anything major there. So, yeah, I fully expect that Dez Bryant plays. How well he plays, that's different. That's, I don't know what you're going to get out of either wide receiver, Dez Bryant or Julio Jones. They're both going to play, but they're both hobbled somewhat. And we've seen with Jones over and over again. Yeah, we just don't know how effective he's going to be. I think he plays, but you know, how much you get from him, who knows? Dez Bryant, same situation.
It's tough for Julio because he's so great, but now he's just become his career is becoming injury marred, and it's not like torn ACLs. It's a chronic foot injuries that are just robbing him, and you have no idea from a fantasy standpoint what you're going to get. He has a good game the other day. But it's also in the midst of a game where he dropped an easy touchdown pass. So tough situation there for Julio. As you said, for the Cowboys, Tyron Smith did not, we mentioned earlier, he did not practice on Friday, and he's questionable for this game, so that could hurt the running attack, obviously. Delanie Walker for the Titans, limited in practice, questionable for Sunday. Keep an eye on it. He's been like this just about every week, but has been getting out there. But you got to keep an eye on it in case something happens like what happened with Zach Ertz. Carolina Panthers wide receiver Curtis Samuel aggravated his ankle in practice on Wednesday, but he's confident he'll play Monday against the Dolphins. He's a recent waiver wire pickup. I don't know that many people have put him in their lineups yet. Just something to keep an eye on in those deeper leagues if you are hamstrung with bye weeks. Let's see what else we got here. The Washington Redskins are the most injured team out there. There's like nine guys on this injury report. Jordan Reed, Jamison Crowder, a whole bunch of offensive linemen are questionable. I think you're just having to figure out exactly what that looks like before they play. They play at 1 o'clock, so you'll know by 11:30 what the deal is there. If you're a Jordan Reed guy, I don't think you can be too confident in what you're going to get out of him.
No. Even if he does play, you're not. Jordan Reed is another guy who just can't stay healthy. Always has some kind of injury there, a shoulder and hamstring. Or, I mean, it's over and over again. Great talent, but you mentioned this Washington team is another mash unit playing. It's a very good Minnesota defense here. I don't see much happening here. I really, is there anybody dying to start on the entire Washington team here? No.
Not at all.
I see this game being kind of ugly for me.
Yeah. CJ Fedorowicz is back for the Texans, and Ryan Griffin is out, so you can make that swap if you're in dire straits. Marquise Lee, questionable to play. Chris Hogan is out. We'll continue to update these as we go through all the games. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
Winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Going over tweets here and some texts that I've received. George, question. Jared Goff or Josh McCown this week?
Like them both. Texans. I mean,
McCown against
Texans
Tampa.
Be getting lit up. So I'm going to like Goff there. I mean, McCown, I already said Tampa Bay. I think you start everyone on the Jets this week. This sort of can't go wrong here. I guess if I had to choose, there's a chance that I guess the Rams could do enough while running the ball with Gurley that maybe they don't throw, and Goff really has only had a couple of big games the last couple of weeks. McCown's been doing this all season long. I'll give McCown the slight edge, but it's a coin toss. I think both are good starts.
Okay, so awesome. No answer.
I said McCown. Do you listen to when I talk there?
Not really. I'm on to the...
Yeah, no one else does. Don't feel bad.
Running back, Alfred Morris, DeMarco Murray, or Derrick Henry?
Well, it's not Henry because Murray's going to start there. That's a situation where one sort of cannibalizes the other. Murray, in my mind, is down to a running back two now, and you need him to get to the end zone. That's a problem. He's outside that 75-yard versus Seattle a few weeks back. He's done nothing all year long. I don't think he's rushing more than 60 yards in a game outside of that one run. So that's an issue there. I guess that leads me. I'll go with Morris. You know, he's going to start the game. I don't feel confident with any of these guys.
Yeah, it's not. Not ideal. That Titans situation is way different than I thought it would be. It's you thought they could both be positives. Now it's turned into a negative for fantasy owners because you're not really sure what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of running back situations are like this. I mean, you got two guys here. The problem with these two is that neither one's doing much. Oh, yeah. You can go on. We can go. I mean, listen, there's 10, yeah. 15, 20 teams that are like this. So it's a problem. What you're going to do here? Tennessee also, I wonder if they're going to become more of a throwing team. If the running game is not really working here, Mariota's getting healthy. They had the coach come out this week and said they're going to have more designed runs for Mariota. So I think they're going to have to worry about Marcus opening up the running game.
All right. So. Yeah, I need some points from Mariota in this one league, which is a segue into what I was going to talk about. And you and I were texting about this earlier this week. There was a trade that was offered to me. It was a pretty big trade. It was going to bring Antonio Brown over to my team. I was going to give up Alvin Kamara. Those are the major pieces. I think I was getting Brady back, and he was getting Mariota. We're just going to swap quarterbacks. He's already got Stafford, so he doesn't really need a backup QB necessarily. He's at Detroit. He's a Michigan guy, so he's like dedicated to Matt Stafford. He was more willing to trade Brady than Stafford. But in any event, we worked a couple of trades out back and forth, counter offers. We settled it over text. I said, cool, you got a deal. I'll send it over right now. Didn't hear back. And then the next morning he texts back, hey, I got some other offers, so I'm not going to do that deal anymore. So he backed out of the trade on me after we confirmed it over text.
Yeah, once you say the trade's done, trade should be done. Once you give your word that a deal is done. I sort of get it at the last second, you know. A guy says, all of a sudden someone calls him and a guy gives you a better offer. I might do the same thing, but my word is my word. You know, if I'm talking to Mike Blewett and I say, you know, okay, deal's done, I'm not going to go back on that. My word means too much to me. I probably wouldn't do it no matter how good the other deal was. I got a guy in the league I played a long time. I've been playing this guy since the late 80s. And I won't deal with them anymore because you'll do all the legwork. You get the deal all done, which sometimes it can take a lot of emails, some phone calls, you know, a lot of paperwork. And then at the end, always he'll back out. It's like as soon as you agree with the deal, he thinks, oh, I must be getting ripped off. It must not be a good deal for me. And he back every time. So I refuse to deal with this guy.
Yeah, I'm actually going to leave the league because of it. There are already a couple things that went on. There's a shady trade after this that I thought a little bit of collusion, but I'm not going to veto it. I'm just going to leave the league. So Mike and George will be back after the break. Talk more football on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.